stands forever. Amen. If you would, for a few minutes, just give your attention to me as I tag title and give you this thought for this message. And God heard me. Amen. And God heard me. Amen. I know that many times we do not feel like God is hearing us. Many times we don't feel like God is going to answer our prayers. A lot of times we don't understand why we deal with the things we have to deal with. But what we need to be assured of is that God hears us and that God will answer us in his time and the way that he wants to answer. I can make my mind go back and remember even my mother when I was growing up. Sometimes I would ask her stuff and she wouldn't say a word. And I'd wonder, why is she ignoring me? It's not that she was ignoring me. She just didn't want to give me the answer that I was looking for. And she had already spoken, and I continued to ask, which led her to scold me because I was asking something that I already knew the answer to. Well, let me share with you that many times we pray and ask God about things that we already know the answer to because he's already spoken it in his word. But we think that God is going to say something opposite or something different than what he's already said. And that is not how God works. But well, let me give you this story here, and I'm going to try to see how God worked this one out. But the story here in the first book of Samuel, and it's also known as the first book of the Kings in that time, because Samuel wrote about, it was the prophet's view of what the kingdom looked like at that time. Amen. This book was written based on the life of Samuel, and you'll find out that Samuel was the last judge and actually the first prophet to lead Israel. Amen. You'll find out that he was born to a woman by the name of Hannah. Now, let me tell you a little bit about his family. Now, there was in the first chapter, verse 1 says there was a certain man by the name of Elkanah. He had two wives in verse 2. One was named Hannah, one Peninnah. And here it was that this man was a priest. He was a priest, but he was not acting or he was not serving in any religious functions. He was actually of the sons of Kohath. Kohath was the ones who David had appointed in the temple to play music, and their job was to stay in the temple and play music. And here it was, this man who had been a priest, he was not actually functioning in a priestly or religious function, but he was supposed to be, but he was doing something else. Amen. And he had begin to compromise, because if you can see here, he had two wives. He began to compromise with the carnal way of society, social society of that day. And if you read and you study, you'll find out in that day that men were doing whatever they wanted to do. They were doing whatever their hearts permitted them to do and they thought was right, because they had continued to stray away from God. Amen. You'll find out that they were doing a whole bunch of stuff that we're doing even today. Amen. This man ended up a bigamist, although he was a priest. Amen. But this is Samuel's family. Now, his family was sort of dysfunctional because one mother had a bunch of children and the other one had no children, and they had a feud going on in the house. Amen. Kind of sound like us a lot of times, because we have people that are family with us that we feud with for whatever reason, and really we shouldn't be feuding because we should be acting as family. Is that all right today? Y'all still with me? Y'all hadn't checked out. And so here it was, this man trying to do what he can do to get them to a place to where they can go to church and worship together. And when they get to the church, they get to Shiloh. Notice something. They went to Shiloh, which is where the temporary place of the Ark of the Covenant was, to offer up sacrifice. And it was required by God that every man of Israel at least attend three services a year, three festivals, let me say that. And the festivals would last for weeks at a time. And it was required that they would do three a year. Now, Now the problem here is that that many of them, they went to these feasts and they went to these festivals, but they got there and there was some priests there by the name of Hophni and Phinehas. These two priests, these sons of Eli, they were no good. They would take in the sacrifices and the offering, and they wouldn't even offer it to God. In other words, they would receive the tithe, they would receive the offering, and they wouldn't give it to God. They were eating the meat raw. What I'm saying is, you know, y'all saying, ooh, but people do it all the time because you eat your steak with all that blood running out of it. That's what they were doing. That's what they would do. They were not cooking it all the way. They were eating it because they had a taste for blood. Amen. They had a taste for whatever it was. And so they were no good. They were no good. Eli himself allowed whatever to happen because he had conformed. And so he didn't rebuke. He didn't correct his children. But guess what? Elkanah and his family and everybody that went to these festivals, they knew what was going on and they continued to go. Lord help me. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. What I'm saying is that the priests weren't perfect. The preacher wasn't perfect. But they still went to church. Lord have mercy. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. Y'all ain't got to say nothing. And so here we are in this day the same way. But the difference between us and them is that they didn't worry about what the boys was doing with theirs, and we worry about everything that the preacher do. If he don't say it right, if he don't look right, if he don't act right, if she don't do whatever, you know, we get all bent out of shape about the littlest thing. But what they understood is that it's not what they do, it's what I do. God holds me accountable for what I do. So I'm going to do my part. I'm going to show up and be faithful. I'm going to make it to church. I don't care who else is not doing what they're supposed to do. Year after year, I'm going up to Shiloh year after year, and I'm going to make sure that I do what I'm supposed to do, what is required of me. Bottom line is that it doesn't matter what to you what God requires of me. You do what God requires of you. Y'all don't have to say amen. It's okay. So they kept going anyway. Eli eating and getting so big that he can't stand up. You read, you'll find out. Once it was all said and done, Eli was so big that he fell over out the chair, broke his neck, couldn't get up, broke his neck, and died. The priest had gotten so fat. His sons were so corrupt. They were taking the women, they were taking the food, they were taking the tithe, they were taking the offering, they were doing whatever they wanted to do. But these people still went to church. You got to keep your eyes on God. Amen. You cannot look at other people. Let me tell you something. Everybody that walk in here got a suit on or a dress on, or any church they got a suit or a dress on, and some of them don't wear suits or dresses, some of them wear whatever else. But guess what? Everybody is not going to be.
Amen. Yes.
All right. But if you let people, they'll keep you back from God.
Amen.
If you let people, and I'm not going to let somebody come between me and God. He is too important for me for you to get in my way. He is too important to me, and my relationship with him is so important that I'm not going to let your devilish ways mess with me and my God. We got to stop that. We got to stop that. We got to stop looking at everybody else and pointing fingers at everybody else. We got to stop and start going to God for yourself.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord, have mercy. And you know, we got this thing about, you know, if we don't like what somebody say, we say something about it, you better watch it. Because if God is saying it, okay, let me leave it alone. Let me go. Let's see. He says that, let's go to verse 2. He said he had two wives. And one of them had children, the other one didn't. One was productive and the other one was not productive. And the Bible says that God shut her womb. God shut her womb up. And the thing is, sometimes we don't know what God is up to. Right? We don't know why God did it. We don't know if it was because they compromised, because she was the first wife. Now, let me say this. Hannah's name meant grace. Her name meant grace. It meant favored. And she represented the church in this text because, look at this. The first thing I want you to see, and I'm going to get into it because I know I'm boring y'all. The first thing I want you to see is that she was persecuted. Look at the persecution. they went up and they worshiped. And every year, the Bible says that year after year, she provoked her. Year after year, she her adversary, verse 6, it said, and her adversary provoked her sore for her to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Look at this. He, even though her husband gave her a worthy portion, even though he blessed her, even though he was good to her, it still wasn't enough because her adversary aggravated her. What does this sound like to me? It sounds like God. It sounds like how God blesses us and God do for us, but still it's not enough because we're worried about our adversary. The Bible says, look, it says that she began to fret. She began to be afraid. It got to the point that she didn't really want to go up to the church because she knew year after year, this woman is going to mess with me. Year after year, she going to lick her tongue at me. She going to nah at me. She going to get at me and aggravate me, and I don't want to deal with it. Even though she had more stuff, she didn't have the children. And that's how we are. We have what we God blessed us with, but because we ain't got what the other person got, we, oh, Lord have mercy. I'm really be short today, I see. Verse 6 says that her adversary provoked her. The adversary means tightness. It means the trouble. It means distress and affliction. He says that the adversary here, the persecution that came to Hannah, who was, now she didn't seem so graceful. She didn't seem so favored because she didn't have her child. She didn't have what she wanted the most. So it didn't seem like she was going to be graced. She had grace upon her side, or she was favored, as we would call it, because her adversary, the one who made her have a tightness in her chest, the one that troubled her, the one that put her in distress, the one that afflicted her, looked like was prospering, and she wasn't getting nothing. You know, that's how we are sometimes. We look at what other folks who seem like they was the devil, look like they were just evil, just mean and mad and nasty and wrong, but look like they get blessed, and we sitting here wondering why, God, we don't have what we asked for. Well, God said, you just wait, you just pray, and I can, oh, come on and say amen here. He said the adversary, the tightness, her problem, what made her have some tension. You know what tightness is? It's tension. What gave her tension was the fact that every time and sometime Peninnah didn't have to do anything but pass her children in front of Hannah, and that was something that made her have some tension. She had trouble and distress because her adversary kept messing with her. The Lord had shut her womb. Now we got to see that God, if God shut something, can't nobody open it anyway. Amen. We don't know why her womb was shut. We don't know what she was doing or what happened in her life for God to stop her from having children. But what we do know is that God didn't allow it at the time. Amen. Now, most of the time, what would happen in these days was that if a woman could not have a child, they would go out and they'd find them another woman that could have them a child. That's what they would do. And so apparently that's what he did. He went out and found him another woman. And so Hannah had to be okay with that at first because she couldn't give him what he wanted. Amen. But let's look at verse 7. And so he did year by year, and they went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Look at this. It got to the point that she was so sorrowful, it made her weep. It made her sorrowful. And they did this, what, year after year after year. You know, there's a devil that come at you every year. Comes at you at the same time every year, the same time. Y'all don't hear me. You got to understand, and you got to know the season and time. You got to pay attention to what's happening in your life. Every year you get broke at the same time. Every year you get depressed at the same time. Every year you get to a point that you want to give up at the same time. You, every time you come to a certain point in your life, you start to throw up your hands and holler and quit and everything else because you get to that certain point. Do you know that if you ever overcome that, you don't have to go through it again? Do you know that if you ever come to a point where you get victory over that situation, you don't have to suffer in that thing ever again? So you need to learn how to overcome those things, those obstacles that are coming your way. Because if the devil knows that you're going to stop every time, guess what he's going to do every time? He's going to let you go so far, and then he's going to show up and stop you. You got this showstopper demon in your face. Oh, come on and say, man, and he's stopping you every time you try and attempt to do something. But today you need to declare, I don't care if my enemy does come every year. This year when he comes, I'm ready because I prayed and God heard me. Do I have anybody here that say, God heard me? God heard your prayers and he's giving you the strength to overcome. He's giving you the power to be able to endure, to be able to persevere, to overcome the obstacle along the way. Do I have any witnesses in here? She was grieving. She was in anguish. She was feeling helpless and hopeless. She was feeling downcast and disheartened. And she was feeling discouraged. She was feeling discouraged. And she did not know what else to do because year after year, and looked like now, it seemed like by now, Penina would have been over it. It looked like now she should have been saying, you know what, I'm going to leave Hannah alone. But no, every year, I got to mess with her. Every year, I got to make her die. And look, she was doing it when they went to church, y'all. Y'all don't hear me. When at the time when she should have been encouraged, at the time that she should have been worshiping God, having her mind on the Lord, she couldn't even think about God. She couldn't even get her worship on because here was Penina in her face. She couldn't even give God what he deserved with a whole heart because she had trouble. Y'all don't hear me now. She provoked her. Every year, verse 7 says, and she provoked her every year. Now, when it says provoke, that means that she tried to get her to do something. Tried to get her out of character. Here it was, Grace, the favored one. Hannah, Miss Goody Two Shoes, the one who husband loves her so much, she gives her a worthy portion, more than 7 sons. I wish I had somebody. Anything Hannah wanted, Elkanah gave it to her. And here you are, Miss Goody Two Shoes, but you can't do this. You can't have that. Waited till she got to church. Now, you know the devil, that's how he is. Where you should have your most, your joy and your comfort and your peace. He tried to invade that sanctuary of peace to try to take your joy from you. Oh, but Lord have mercy. Look at this. He says that every year she came and she provoked her. Verse 8. And then said Elkanah to her husband, she said, Hannah, why are you so down? It got to a point that Hannah couldn't hide it. You know, you can't hide it when it's on the inside of you. It got to a place where she couldn't hide it. It was persistent. And do you know the devil is so persistent that he not going to let up. Once he see he got you sad, once he see he got you discouraged, once he see he got you down, that's why we say, well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have none. Look, I'm just afraid that something might happen. That's how we talk all the time. Uh-huh. That's how we talk. And so he says that in verse 8, Elkanah said, Hannah, why are you weeping? And why don't you eat something? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? He said, I'm better to you than 10 sons. You can have 10 sons. You can't get no better than this. And he said, I don't understand. I've given you everything that you could think of, but you're still crying and you won't eat. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You can't function. You don't want to eat. You're losing weight. You're stressed out. Your hair falling out. You just ain't focused. What's going on? So Hannah rose up, eating after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest was upon the seat by the post of the temple. He was sitting down. I told you he was a big guy. He had to sit down. And she was in bitterness of soul. Look at this. She was so bitter in her soul. And we have to understand that sometimes things will make us bitter, but we can't stay in bitterness. We have to get better. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Look at this. She began to pray. And if nothing else, you ought to be able to pray. If nothing else, you ought to say, I'm going to go call on the Lord and talk to him about this situation. You know what? You know what? A lot of times we fail to pray. We fail to go and talk to the Lord because we want to talk to everybody else. Elkanah was trying to talk to Hannah, but Hannah said, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to nobody else. I need to go back to the temple. Look, they had came to worship and things were not working out. But she said, I need to go back to the temple and so I can talk to God, because whoever I talk to in here, it's not working. I wish I had somebody here to say that, look, I've talked to so many people. I had friends, and thank God for my friends, but they can't help me. I had family, but thank God for my family, but they're not helping me. But I got to talk to the Lord himself, because when I talk to the Lord, when I have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about my trouble, he'll hear my cry and answer by and by. Do I have anybody in here that say, I need to talk with Jesus? I don't need to talk with nobody else. I don't need to talk with the psychiatrist, the psychologist, the marriage counselor. I need to talk to Jesus, the preacher. I love you, preacher, but I need to talk to Jesus. She went on back to the house. She went back to where the Ark of the Covenant was. She went back to the place where the presence of God was. She went back so that she can talk to God in the place where she believed that God was. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. And so he says that she wept sore. She was bitter in her soul, and she wept sore. And so when she began to pray, she prayed because she had no other choice. She said, ain't nobody I know can help me except God. Can't nobody else do this but God. The one who shut my womb has to be the one who opened my womb. I wish I had somebody here. Can't nobody do this but God. So she went back to pray, and the Bible says that in verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She made a vow. She began to pray. She said, Lord of hosts. What does that mean? That means that she began to talk to God, because she said, I want to talk to the God who is busy in the affairs of mankind. I want to talk to the God that can touch mankind, that can turn the heart of the king, that can make my life better. I want to talk to the God who will intervene for me, who will intercede for me, who will intercept what the enemy's done and change my situation. Can't nobody change this but God. So I want to talk to him. I wish I had somebody here. Oh yeah, she said, I want to talk to you. I'm your handmaid. Look upon my affliction. We got to know that even though the many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord will deliver from them all. Do I have any witnesses here? We got to see. She said, I want you to remember and don't forget your handmaid. That goes to show us, look, that you can't do anything without God. You can't. Yeah, I know we think that the reason why all these babies here is because people just doing stuff. No, it's because God is allowing these babies to show up. They can't come from nowhere else but God. I wish I had somebody. So they are a blessing to us. Amen. Even though they may not have come through the way that you wanted them to get here, but guess what? They came and God sent them, because they can't have a spirit unless God give it to them. They can't have a soul unless God makes it happen. Do I have any witnesses? We need to know that God blesses us with them. The Bible said children are like an arrow in a strong man. Hand. In other words, you give me some children, I got something to fight for and fight with. Oh, come on and say amen here. It just makes me stronger. I got a new weapon. I wish I had somebody. Oh, come on and give God some praise here. But just like children are like an arrow in a strong man's hand, what do you do with an arrow? You take it and you pull back on it and you aim it in the right direction so that it'll hit a target. And that's our job, is to aim our children in the right direction. Pull on them a little bit. Get them bit a little bit. I wish I had to sharpen them up a little bit so that we can get them to go in the way that we want them to hit a target that we intend for them to hit. That's what God entrusted us with. The Bible says that we ought to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Now, he's not saying that when they're young, they ain't gonna mess up. He's not saying that when they're young, they're gonna act up and do rebellious things, but when they're old, they begin to say, I remember my mama told me. They begin to say, I remember grandmama told me. I wish I had somebody. Y'all could say amen there. Oh yeah, we ought to train up a child. The problem is we just having children and not training children. Children training us on how to obey them, training us on how to do what they want us to do, training us on what to say and when to say it, training us on how to go to our room, and they got the whole house. house. Come on and say amen here. We have to train up a child. Quit letting that child tell you what to do. My daddy always say, I raised you. You don't raise me. Come on and say amen. I trained you. You ain't trained me. So I know exactly what to do. Y'all with me this morning? She was praying for a blessing. She needed an arrow. She wanted to become strong. Amen. She wanted some weapon that she could have to combat her adversary. So she prayed. And she vowed a vow. And she said, look on the handmaid. So in order for women, you ought to feel special. In order for you to have that child, God has to touch you. He has to touch your wound to make you able. Okay, let me leave that. I'm going to get out of here. Y'all ready to go. She made a vow and she said, is this going to be a Nazarene? He's not going to let a razor come on his head. In other words, he's going to be a strong man. He's going to be dedicated to God. Here it is, Hannah. Check her out. She had a vision for her son who she didn't even have yet. Do you have a vision for yours? She had a vision for her son, and she wasn't even pregnant yet. Lord, have mercy. We ought to have some kind of vision. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone too. And it came to pass, she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli marked her mouth. He was like, wait a minute. What are you doing? Hannah spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said, how long will you be drunk? And Hannah answered, I'm not drunk, Lord. But I'm a woman of sorrow of spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before thee. Now, you got to understand something. When they would have these festivals just like us, When Easter or Resurrection Sunday come, we boil crawfish and we get drunk. Huh? Y'all acting like right? Christmas come, we want to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but we get what? Drunk. Thanksgiving, we're supposed to be thankful, but we at the liquor store. These people did the same stuff we do today. Seriously. So he thought she came to church drunk. She began to pray, and the Bible says her lips moved, but no voice. Her lips moved, but he couldn't hear her, so he thought she was mocking. So he decided to check her. Now the nerve of Eli is that he checked her and wouldn't check his sons. The hypocrisy of the pulpit. Okay, let me leave that alone. He began to talk to her about why she was there. And look, the thing that even if man can't hear you, God can hear you. The Bible said that God knows what you're going to pray for. You open your mouth to speak. On this Mother's Day, I dare some mothers begin to pray. Even though you may not hear my voice, oh, come on and say, man, my heart is open to God and I'm pouring it out to him. I wish I had somebody that say, God knows my heart for real and God hears my prayers for real. God knows what I'm going to say. He knows what I'm about to say before I even say it. She began to tell Eli, I'm not drunk. I haven't had wine. No whiskey, but I'm here because I'm broken down in my heart. I'm sorrowful in my heart. My heart is broke because I've been asking God year after year after year for something, and he has not delivered it unto me yet, and I'm still going to continue to ask him. Y'all ain't with me this morning. I've been praying for something, and I know some of you are just the same way. I've been praying year after year. I've been asking year after year, month after month, day after day, and look like God ain't heard me yet, but I came to let you know the Lord hears your prayer. The Lord knows what is best for you, and he's going to answer in a timely manner. You know one thing we got to get is to understand that God has an appointed time.
We know your hearts have burned within. by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12:30.